Who's your favorite Christian hero? Who's your favorite Christian hero? It may be somebody that was in the church when you were growing up and had an influence in your life. It may be the person that you consider to be your home preacher. It may be an elder or deacon in the church that meant a lot to you for one reason or another. If you've studied church history, it may be a historical figure in church history. Oh, maybe one of your Bible heroes. Somebody that you just thought, just for some reason, made an impression on you and you thought a lot of. For many people, their favorite Christian hero is the Apostle Paul. And we want to talk about him today. I've kind of been reluctant to talk about him because he's a major character in over half of the book of Acts. He wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. And so there's so much material about Paul that you say, what am I going to leave out? You know, what about what you're going to say? What are you not going to say? So how can I talk about Paul and do anything, any kind of a way to cover his life? And so what I decided to do was to talk about Paul's purpose and suggest to you that if you want to know more about Paul, see Chuck. I think he's got a book or whatever on Paul, and he can give you a lot more information about him. But I want to talk about his purpose, the purpose that God gave him when he called him. So if you've used a sheet there or you want to look in your Bible, Acts chapter 22. The conversion of Paul is told in chapter 9 of Acts. Paul retold the story in chapter 22 and about 26 and kind of referred to it several other times in some of his writings. But I want you to look at this account, a part of the account that Paul told about when at his conversion. This is what God wanted him to do. This was his purpose. I want to read it once or twice. Acts 22, 14 and 15. And he said, "The God of our fathers has appointed you," that's Paul, "the God of our fathers has appointed you, Paul, to know his will and to see the righteous one," that's Jesus, "and to hear an utterance from his," Jesus, "mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard." Now, Paul was not one of the original apostles. He says he was born out of due time. He didn't fit the schedule right. But God called him afterwards. And look at what God says. "Paul, this is what I want you to do. Paul, this is what I want you to do. This is your purpose in life." Let's read it again. "The God of our fathers," that's the one true God, the God of the Jewish people, the God of our fathers, "has appointed you." God chose you, Paul, "to know his will." Who's the his? God's will. I want you to know God's will. "And I want you to see the righteous one." Jesus was already dead, right? Already resurrected from the dead, sent it back to the Father. He said, "No, I want you to see him. So I want you to see Jesus, and I want you to hear an utterance from his mouth." So I want you to know God's will, I want you to see Jesus, and I want you to hear from Jesus. "For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard." There was no question that Paul knew exactly what his purpose was in life. One of the most difficult things in your life is to find out why you are here. I believe every person has a purpose. I believe God has a purpose for every person. Now, it is true that for Paul, it was unique and miraculous. I personally believe, I think Chuck agrees with me, I personally believe that Paul spent 3 years with Jesus, just like the other apostles did. I can't prove that scripturally, but I give you some hints scripturally, and so I think that is true. But what God said to him when he called him was, I want you to know my will, I want you to see Jesus, I want you to hear Jesus, and then I want you to be a witness for me. Let me see if I can put it another way. I want you to have an experience with Jesus, and then I want you to go tell people about it. I want you to have an experience with Jesus, and then I want you to go tell people about it. I want you to know my will. I want you to see him. I want you to hear him. And then I want you to be a witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Paul was a unique person. God gave him a unique call. I don't think there was anybody else that became an apostle out of schedule, out of normal 12 minus 1, the ones that Jesus lived with. I think Paul was the only apostle of Jesus. And so he had a unique position. God did tell him directly and inspired him. He was a very special person. Most of us don't have that kind of situation. I still believe most of us have a purpose. But we know for sure what Paul's purpose was. One more time. The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one who was Jesus, to hear an utterance from his mouth. Whose mouth? Jesus. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. So Paul knew what his purpose was. There was no question, none. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do. Then I wanted to pick a passage that kind of illustrated what Paul did during his life. From this point on, what was he doing? And I suppose there have been a lot of them. I wrestle with Romans 1:16 when Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I wrestle with the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 when he says, "I preach Christ. The Jews seek one thing and the Greeks send one thing, but I preach Christ and him crucified." But anyway, I decided to pick this one passage. There were a lot of other passages I suppose I could have picked. Just decided to pick this one in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. "Now I make known to you, brethren," that I is, tell me, Paul. "I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you." I'm going to talk more about the gospel in a minute. So remember that word, underline that word, circle that word, gospel. "The gospel which I preached to you." This is what Paul did. He went all over the country preaching the gospel. "Which you also received." They received the gospel. He preached the gospel. They received the gospel. "In which also you stand." So Paul preached the gospel. They received the gospel. They stood in the gospel. That means they were remaining faithful to the gospel. Verse 2. "By which also you are," tell me, "saved." The gospel is what saves us. The gospel is what saves us. Paul said, "I preached it, you heard it, you accepted it, you stand in it. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." In other words, your faith has to be genuine. Can't be a fake. You got to believe it, you got to really believe it, you got to hang in there. Now the first word in verse 3 is "fall." And he said in verse 1 and 2, "I preached the gospel to you." Then in verse 3 and 4, he's going to explain what he did preach. So he's going to give a Bible definition of the gospel. "I preach the gospel to you. You receive the gospel. You're saved by the gospel. You stand in the gospel. This is what I preach. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Now, very technically, that's the Bible definition of the gospel. The word gospel means good news. The word itself means good news. The Bible defines gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So if I were to preach a sermon on creation, it may be a biblical sermon, but it would not be a gospel sermon. Does that make sense? Technically, it would not be a gospel sermon. It would be a biblical sermon, but it would not be a gospel sermon. If it is a gospel sermon, it has to include the gospel. And the gospel is death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. So that's what Paul preached. Everywhere he went, he preached to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. He preached everywhere he went. That's what he did. He preached the gospel. Why would he do that? That was his purpose. That's what he's supposed to be doing. And one of the most difficult things, is finding your purpose. But after you find your purpose, is to be focused on your purpose. There is not enough time to do everything you want to do. There is not enough time to do everything you want to do. And one of the most difficult things in life is practicing priorities. One of the most difficult things in life is practicing priorities. Because the biggest threat to what's first in your life is what's second in your life. The biggest threat to what's first in your life is what's second in your life. You know what knocks out the most important thing in your life most often? What's the second most important thing in your life? If I were to rate the things that are important in my life by priority, what's in 15th place very seldom competes with what's in first place. Very seldom. This is important to me, but it's way down the list on what's important. 15th place, 16th place. This is what's most important in my life, and so I'm having some trouble here between these two. Very seldom that ever happens. What happens is the good wipes out the best. The good stuff in my life replaces the best stuff in my life. So Paul could have went about helping poor people and feeding them. He did that sometime. Didn't he carry some money back to Jerusalem? He could have dedicated his whole life to doing that and not preach the gospel at all. And everybody would have said, look how good a person he is. He's doing a lot of good stuff. One of the most difficult things in life is to stay focused on the most important thing in life. And I think as you study the life of Paul, you see that he did that. The most important thing in my life is I need to know about Jesus and I need to tell people about Jesus. Right? That's what he told him when he converted him. You need to know about Jesus and you need to tell people about Jesus. You need to have an experience with Jesus and you need to tell people about the experience. You need to know Jesus and you need to make Jesus known. Let's say it that way. His purpose was to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. Right? And so when this passage we picked out here, he says, I preach to you the gospel. You accepted the gospel. You were saved by the gospel. You stand by the gospel. And I want to tell you, what the gospel is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. There are a lot of other things he could have preached. A lot of other things he could have talked about. But he was preaching Jesus. Now the book of Acts, our next passage, the book of Acts is the history of the church. The church starts in Acts chapter 2, and we have the history of the church in the book of Acts. First 30 years of the church. And at the end of the book of Acts, Paul is put in prison. And I'm not sure how you end a book that the story continues. At the end of the book of Acts, you shouldn't ever put the end. That's not the end. Luke stopped writing, but that's not the end. So Paul had dedicated his whole life, ever since he became a Christian, to doing what God called him to do, to fulfilling his purpose, to keep the first thing, to put the emphasis on the priority, to focus on preaching Jesus. telling people about who Jesus is, telling people, preaching the gospel, so that people could be saved by the gospel, could stand in the gospel. People would know about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what he dedicated his life to doing. So now we have Paul, who had been put in prison. Why was he put in prison? Basically because he was preaching the gospel. He was doing what he's supposed to do. So he's put in prison. He was taken to Rome. And this is the last we have of Luke, who was the historian. This is the last thing Luke says about Paul. Now, I think what we're going to read a little later is what Paul said about himself, but this is the last thing that the historian said about him. And he, Paul, stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters. Now, he was in prison. So what do you call that when you're in prison but you can stay in your house? House arrest. He was still under arrest, but he was limited. He couldn't leave. He couldn't go to Pigeon Forge. You know, he had to stay in Rome. He was under house arrest. But he rented his own quarters. He rented it. And some people think Paul was rich at certain parts of his life. And he says there were certain parts of his life that he had plenty and certain parts that didn't have anything. But anyway, he was able to rent his own house. He was welcoming all who came to him. Now look at what he was doing. Look at what he's doing. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. That's how the book of Acts, the history of the church, ends. Paul just kept on preaching. Paul just kept on preaching. What did God call him to do? To tell the story of Jesus. As the historian finishes his writing, what is Paul doing? Telling the story of Jesus. He was in jail for doing that, but he was still doing that. He hadn't got sidetracked. You know, some of us would have been tempted. Well, God let them capture me and God let them put me in jail. He must want me to stop. I mean, just look at the circumstances. He must want me. I'm doing this and I'm in jail, so he must want me to stop. No, God called him and told him what he wanted him to do, and Paul was still doing it. He was still doing it. When Luke finishes the history of the church, when he stops writing the history of the first 30 years of the church, he leaves Paul just preaching. He's still preaching. Preaching, let's see what he says. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. That's an amazing statement for somebody under house arrest. I mean, he was in jail because he was preaching, and yet things had worked out where he could rent his own house, be under house arrest. He had to stay there, but people could come to him, and they came to him. What did he tell them? Told them about Jesus, because that's what he's supposed to be doing. Tell them about Jesus. That's what he was doing. That's what God called him to do, and that's what he was doing. Now, the next passage, one we read for our devotional time, we think, let me tell you more than I know, okay? The Bible, the book of Acts, leaves Paul in prison. So the inspired record, that's what we know. He was in prison. Now we think, from other records, not inspired records, from other records, we think he got out of jail that time. Spent some more time traveling around preaching. They put him back in jail. And 2 Timothy, he's in jail for this time, the second time. And he was pretty sure they were going to put him to death. He's pretty sure they're going to put him to death. And we think he was right. You know, I'm not sure whether anybody really knows when they're going to die or not, but occasionally you'll hear somebody that seemed to know that death is close, I'm near the end. Well, Paul thought that was the case. And it was the case, we think. Here's what he wrote. I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. The time of my departure has come. The time of my death is near. That's what he's saying. And the word departure has to do with not dying. His word departure is the same word you would use if a ship left port going somewhere. The time of my departure, I'm going to leave here, but I got somewhere to go. This is not the end. I got somewhere to go. I'm heading somewhere. The time of my departure has come. Listen to this. How great this is to be able to say this at the end of your life. I think I'm near death. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I fought the good fight. And what we know about Paul, it was a fight, right? It wasn't easy. You know, he had to fight a lot of things. But the one that excites me the most, I have finished the course. Because see what he pictures here is a race course. You sit out here and you end up there. The race course. Any of you guys ever run the July 4th thing? What do you call that? Road race. Have a starting point and an ending place, right? If you make it to the ending place, you can say, I have finished the course. I ran the whole way. I finished the course. Paul says about his life, I finished the course. What kind of life? What kind of course, Paul? The course that God set for me. I have completed what God gave me to do. I have completed what God gave me to do. What a tremendous testimony at the end of your life to say, I've done everything God called me to do. Everybody I've ever heard of that made any kind of statement at the end of their life nearly always says, I wish I had of. I wish I had of. It may have been a lot of different things. I wish I'd spent more time with my family. Or I wish I'd been more faithful to church. Or I wish I'd done this and that. Paul says, I did it all. I did everything I was supposed to do. Man, that's an amazing testimony. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. In other words, I have completed everything God called me to do. I finished it. I completed the course. Therefore, God's going to reward me. And he's not going to reward me. He's going to reward anybody else who does the same thing. God gave him a purpose. It was miraculous. And it was different for him than other people. He was very special. Paul was a very special person that God chose. But the fact is, he knew what he was supposed to do. What was he supposed to do? Know God's will. See Jesus. Hear and utter from Jesus. And be a witness. Have an experience with Jesus and tell people about the experience. Have an experience with Jesus and tell people about the experience. Let me say it another way. Know Jesus and to make him known. Know Jesus and to make him known. The biggest problem after you discover your purpose is to stay focused on your purpose. To stay focused. There's not enough time to do everything that you want to do. There's not enough time to do everything that you think needs to be done. You got to decide, this is what's most important. This is what I got to do. Lee Iacocca would say you got to keep first things first. My wife accuses me, and I've been trying to figure out how I'm going to preach on this. I preached on this sermon years ago. I want to preach that in this series. But the sermon only takes 5 minutes, and I wouldn't want to disappoint you. And just have a 5 minute. But anyway, back to fellow in the Old Testament, that was a sign to keep a prisoner. And if you let the prisoner get away, we're going to put you to death. The prisoner got away. And what was his excuse? While I was busy here and there, he was gone. And that one, I'm going to preach that sermon so long. While I was busy here and there, he was gone. And I find that many of us us so busy doing good things that we fail to do the best thing. We're so busy doing good things that we fail to do the best things. We have a real problem with priorities. As I said in the life of Paul, he didn't seem to have that problem. He knew what the priority was. The problem was to preach Jesus and him crucified. That was the priority. And you turn him loose and let him go somewhere, he did it. In fact, not only he did it where he was, he wanted to go somewhere else and did it. Not only did he do that, he trained two or three other people to do that. They put him in jail, and what did he do? He preached Jesus. We studied the book of Philippians on Wednesday night. They put him in jail and chained him to soldiers. And at the end of the book, he said, some of these Christian soldiers send you their greetings. So you just automatically, boy, they chained him to him, and they were in a real mess. They were handcuffed to the preacher. I mean, they couldn't get away from him. And wherever he went and whatever he did, he preached Jesus. Because that was the purpose that God gave him. I believe every one of you has a purpose from God. And before we finish this series, we're going to look at all the different people we looked at. I'm going to put them all together. We'll look at all of them. And I'm going to show you that not all of them was exactly the same thing. Not all of them was exactly the same thing. Everyone we talked about knew what his purpose was, and he had to fulfill that purpose. Paul was probably the clearest one. I mean, there was no question. When Ananias came to Paul, when he was in the process of being converted to Christ, he told him, this is God's purpose for you. Some of you wish God would appear to you and say, this is God's purpose for you. Don't you? I wish I knew for sure what God wants me to do. Because God wants to use you the way he made you. God wants to use you the way he made you. God doesn't want you to become somebody else. God wants you to be you. But he wants you to be you, submitted to God. And he wants you to do whatever it is that God calls you to do. The Apostle Paul knew what God wanted him to do, and he was absolutely focused. That's what he did. He preached the gospel of Jesus everywhere he went. And he went some places on purpose to preach the gospel. He had a plan. You've studied the missionary tours of Paul, and you find that Paul's method was he would go to the big cities and start a church and teach that church. You need to spread out and spread it in the surrounding areas. He would train Timothy and Titus and other people and Silas, train them. You need to be preaching the gospel. Train them how to do it. And when he finished his life, he says, I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. I finished the course. I finished the race. Don't you dare die before you finish what God has set you here to do. Don't you dare die before you finish the job. God gave you a job. Do it.